welcome to the Brown Bowl podcast. This is a podcast created for the love of food and meant to support you on a journey to making more vegan choices, no matter where you are along the way. I'm your host, Kim Sujovalski. I'm a teacher, a certified plant-based cook, and for years, I've been helping people go vegan or take more steps in that direction by teaching you how to cook delicious vegan meals, get back in the kitchen, and improve your relationship with food. So are you ready? Lace up those trainers if you're going for a walk, or grab a cup of coffee, get comfy on the couch, and listen in. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Ramble Podcast. I missed you because last week we didn't have a podcast episode, as you know, because we had that very special kind of compilation post just in time for Mother's Day. We're going to be talking a lot about mothers today because it's kind of Mother's Day week here at Bramble, and we've got lots of goodies that have been coming out, and we're finishing it off this week with this post, and we've got some pretty cool surprises and stuff to share today. But that episode, well, the episode we didn't have last week, we didn't have it because we were having that great little kind of mashup that I really want you to check out. You can find it at brownville.com, and it was a compilation post on 8 mouthwatering vegan breakfast recipes for Mother's Day. And we had so many cool bloggers featured in this post. I love that. I've told you about when I do these little compilations posts before, and I love to kind of share the love and introduce you to some new blogs and some new cool people that are doing some amazing things out there. And in this occasion, because it was almost Mother's Day, and well, it is almost Mother's Day if you're listening to this at the time in which we post it, we have some really cool breakfast recipes because I just think that, you know, breakfast is the perfect way to celebrate the moms in your life. They work so hard. They wake up so early for us, or at least they did in the past if you're all grown up now. And I think, you know, getting a little breakfast made to you by your loved ones where you don't have to do anything and you don't have to clean afterwards, I think it's the perfect form of revenge, right? Not revenge, but you know what I mean, right? It's the perfect way to pamper somebody. And you know me and breakfast, it's my favorite meal of the day. So I had so much fun kind of putting all of these together. We had these scrumptious vegan cranberry scones by My Vibrant Kitchen. We had our yummy cinnamon rolls, our banana date cinnamon rolls, which I think to date is still our most shared and viewed, not only recipe, but maybe post. We have a couple that are really close, but this is one of our most famous recipes. And we also had some awesome hash browns with a vegan caper mayonnaise. And this is by Massa and Mikhail of The Minimalist Vegan. You heard me talk about them in our previous episode, right? These are to die for, and the photograph is just so beautiful. You have to check these out. They're all in the post, by the way. If you go to bramble.com and you use the search bar and search for eight, well, if you just search for Mother's Day, you're going to find it. You're going to find it there. And these were so good. We also had pancakes. These were some incredible kind of bourbon hazelnut pancakes with a cardamom brown butter. How cool does that sound? This was by World of Vegan, and their blog is just amazing. I highly recommend it too. We had a vegan chickpea and onion omelet. And yes, of course you can have omelets without eggs. It really is kind of easy. And these were by vegan Sandra. We had delicious banana bread waffles by Veganosity. We had these awesome cheesy vegan kind of potato breakfast burritos. This was by Produce on Parade. And we also had toast because you know me and toast, right? So these were kind of some mushrooms on toast, but it had a little like a white bean spread in the bottom. These were by Natural Girl Modern World. It was just a cool, cool little roundup. And the photos are just amazing. And the recipes are just incredible. I chose recipes that I thought had a little something special to them, but that were also easy to make and with ingredients that were easy to find. And of course, I included a bonus round, and that was, of course, vegan Nutella, because we can have vegan Nutella. We can make it at home. It's really easy. And this was by Heart of a Baker, a recipe site that is all about baking. And well, I think there are also plenty of savory recipes too, if I'm not mistaken. But it's really cool. They're all vegan. It's really special. And we loved making this post. So that's why, as I told you in our previous episode, that's why we didn't have an episode last week. But we're back today. We're back today. And I'm so glad we are, because we're going to be celebrating mamas. We're going to be celebrating mamas all week long, all week long. You've already probably seen some of the stuff we've posted. And it's pretty cool, because I think moms, they don't get enough credit. They really are amazing. They've raised us. They've worked so hard. And it's a job that, you know, is very tiring. And, you know, women don't get paid for it. They should. And, you know, it's just, I think it's a great week. I know Mother's Day should be celebrated every day, but I love it when we have a kind of sanctioned holiday just for them. And what else can I tell you? Well, this past weekend was actually a very long weekend here in Spain. We had so much fun kind of going out to eat and taking the dogs to a park. If you follow us on Instagram, we're at Bramble at Instagram. I'm sure you saw plenty of that. And it was just a great, fun, long weekend. We need to have more long weekends. I just think there's just the perfect moment to get back into center and relax. We had a pretty busy week last week, especially at Bramble. Lots of stuff was going on, which is so exciting. And I can't wait to share some of it with you, but I can't yet. But we're very close to. So I just had a lot of fun relaxing. I hope you had an amazing weekend too. And yeah, we have so much to talk about moms today. We're going to talk about moms from the animal kingdom. But of course, before we begin today's show, I have to tell you something. I have to tell you something, because we're celebrating mamas big time. And of course, I want to talk to you about our online program like I do at the top of the show sometimes. But before I tell you that, what I want to tell you is that we have two little announcements. Number one, we now have the feature that we didn't have before, in which you can send a My Bramble membership. That's our online program. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it in a second. But you can now give it away as a present to somebody else. And it's a perfect present for Mother's Day, right? Some online vegan cooking classes. How cool is that? And the great news, the other great news besides this, and by the way, you'll see it at bramble.com. You'll easily see it when you kind of go to the menu at the top. You're going to see, when you click online program, the option of, you know, send as a gift or gift My Bramble. And also in our page that has our little trailer and all the description of the program, you can also find the link there if you want to send it as a gift. We had only the option before of buying it for yourself. Now you can send it to somebody. You can choose how many months you want to send the subscription for, or you can also send our lifetime membership plan, anything at all you like. And the best part of it is that for Mother's Day, we have a little special. We have a little discount for you just until this Sunday. And I'm talking about, you know, the week, of course, if you're listening to this at the moment we are posting it. And you just go to mybramble.com, and I'm going to tell you about the program in a second, and I'll spell that out for you. But you just head on over there, and if you decide to purchase, when you're at the checkout page, all you have to do to get a 20% discount on any plan, and this applies whether you're buying it for yourself or you're buying it for somebody else, and the coupon code you're going to use for that special Mother's Day discount is Mom's Day Special. That's it, Mom's Day Special. So Mom's ending in an S, Day Special, all together, all in all caps, and you get a 20% discount. So if you're wondering what our online program is all about, it's what I kind of like to call our big kahuna, and it's this ongoing program. It's all in video format. I kind of teach you, I take you by the hand, and I teach you step by step how to cook delicious vegan meals. I teach you how to get organized. I give you support on your vegan journey, and I also give you tools to help you find kind of a blissful and balanced place with food and with eating again, because things have gotten so out of whack, and there's a way to get back down to basics, and it's so simple, and it can be done with delicious food. And, you know, most of all, we just cook and we cook and we cook, and we cook in a way that is so simple. And I teach you not only how to cook all of the dishes that we have, I teach you why things are done in the kitchen, right? Because what I want you to do is I want you to become a pro. I want you to be able to create vegan meals that everybody goes nutty over. And I want you to understand why it is that we do things in the kitchen so you can be the master of your own recipes, of your own, you know, ways of doing things. I think that's so cool. And of course, there's just so much more that's included in the program. And you can go and visit mybramble.com. That's www.mybramble.com. And you can learn all of the details. We have a really cool video trailer. You can just sit back and watch that and relax and find out what it's all about. And just remember that if you do decide to join us, which would be so cool, just remember to use our coupon code Moms Day Special, all in all caps, all one word, in the checkout page. And I would love to see you there. So now that we've gotten all of those announcements out of the way, on with the show. Okay, so moms, right? We've started celebrating Mother's Day last week with that post on those mouthwatering vegan breakfast recipes for Mother's Day. And this week we posted a great video on our YouTube channel and also for our members about getting organized, helping mothers get organized in the kitchen with tons of practical tips, really cool stuff, some printables for meal planning, lots of cool stuff. So go check that out if you haven't. But, you know, today I wanted to actually sit down and talk about moms, and not only the human ones, you know, although we kind of celebrate motherhood every year at Bramble, we always do something special. This year was kind of extra special for me, and hence, you know, all of the mom content. And, you know, this is for reasons that I'll hopefully share at some point with you regarding my own mother, and who, you know, as you know, she passed away many moons ago. But I don't know, just it's been a different year when it comes to that, and when it comes to remembering my mom and thinking about her. And I hope that I'll be able to share some of that at some point. But, you know, for now, I think we all think that our mothers are the best ones, right? So I kind of hate to sound like a broken record when I say that mine was the best mother ever. And even after having a disability and a serious chronic illness and facing the grueling task of raising a child, that's me, on her own, she did it all by herself. She did it in the most remarkable and special way. She had all of these things kind of against her, and she was just a remarkable mother. And I've just been thinking about her so much recently, and that's kind of the story that I think I'll share at some point. But, you know, it's just been a special year. Let's just say that. And, you know, I'm not a mother other than if you count my two beautiful cutie pie furry babies, right? But I know that mother and child bond well, because I'm not a mother, but I am a daughter. And we all know that. We all do. You know, mothers are caring, and they would give an arm and a leg for their kids. They spend restless nights. They have years of 5 a.m. wake up calls and then 6 a.m. wake up calls. And then they can't sleep at night because you're out too late. And they worry and they love unconditionally. And they, of course, can also be overbearing. They can be overprotective sometimes. And of course, I'm not saying that all mother-daughter or mother-son relationships are easy. Some of them are complicated. And sometimes our mothers aren't our mothers. Sometimes our mothers are actually our fathers. And sometimes our mothers were a close friend or a grandmother or a grandfather. Or sometimes our mothers were a sister or a brother. And so whoever that figure was for you, or if you are that figure for somebody else, today this is for them and this is for you. And this was such a special post. It's a different post, and I'm going to tell you why a little bit further down the episode. But it was a special one for me to write and for me to record. It's a special one. So this is for you, for all you mamas out there, for all you dads who are kind of also mamas, and, you know, for all of you kids, because you made your mamas very happy, very proud. And I think it's also a great opportunity to talk about the other mamas. The other mamas, not only the human mamas, but I did want to dedicate this to all of you first. So, you know, one of the reasons I'm convinced some people never approach veganism is they firmly believe that some animals are different, right? I really truly think this is the case. I think they think that just some animals, you know, the animals we eat, they're just different and that they're somehow here for us to use in a way, right? That is kind of their place in this world and that they're just part of the food chain and that that's a part of life. I've heard this from many people I love, who love their dogs, who love their cats, who love animals, who admire and watch documentaries on the Discovery Channel. But I hear this. These are the phrases that I hear. And I think we feel this because we've been distanced from animals, right? We see them as others. And sadly, the animals that we use for food, they aren't even seen. They aren't even seen by us. They're not part of those crazy cool Discovery documentaries. We don't encounter them in real life unless we live near a farm. They're just kind of out of sight and out of mind. And this kind of makes it easier to see them as different, right? And it makes it harder for us to connect the dots. And I think that's why we don't see them. We don't see them because people want us to keep buying these products and they want us to feel disconnected. They want us to feel that these animals are others, that they're different, that, you know, we can eat them because they're not the same as our dogs or our cats or, you know, that's just the way the system works, right? And the truth is that animals are creatures just like us, and they have communities, and their priority is getting food and shelter, and their priority is finding a mate, and it's being a part of a group. And yes, you guessed it, they raise their young, and they want to raise their young. And so today's episode is Mama Inspired, but I'm not going to be talking about my awesome rock star of a mother as much as I would love to. I'm not going to talk about super cool human mamas in history. I am going to talk about mothers and their young in the animal kingdom and all of those crazy cool ways in which they love and protect and grieve and care for their young. I think it's so important. I think it's so important for us to talk about these animals and the things they do and the things they experience. And, you know, of course, all of this is from our point of view, right? Because they can't talk, but we can see so much of what they are like and who they are by their actions and by the way, you know, the habits that they have and the way, especially the way that they mother. For me, that's something that is so universal. And I saw it so deeply when I was researching this episode because it's incredible. It really is. And I'm only kind of just brushing the surface here because I didn't want to keep you here for 3 hours. But there are so many incredible stories. And I have to give you a little info about today's episode. You know that our episodes are always very, they're light, that we also talk about very serious topics, but they've always been light on the suffering animals go through. They've been light on the, you know, more descriptive aspects of this issue. Today, we're going to talk mostly about amazing stories, crazy cool stories about how animal mothers raise their young and all of the similarities that they have with us. It's truly remarkable. But in two cases, I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, I'm going to get a little more detailed and a little bit more serious about what's going on with those animals in our food industry. And you guessed it, that's when I'm going to talk about our mama hens and our mama cows. And I don't worry, because I know that many of you are already vegan. Maybe you do not want to hear this again, or maybe some of you are really sensitive, you're not ready, and because of this, I'm going to give you a very clear disclaimer before I start talking about any of these issues. It's just going to be about 2 minutes for each, and it's going to be really light. I promise I'm going to try to paint a picture, but it's not going to be something that's going to, you know, I hope that it's not going to be traumatic in any way. My idea is to kind of share what I've seen in a way that is palatable and in a way that's going to be easier to approach because I started going easily into this, right? I started reading about it. Then I decided to kind of listen to some podcast episodes that describe these issues. Then I finally decided to watch some images. And I think it was going step by step that really helped me kind of ease into it because I am a very sensitive person and I know that some of these things are very hard to grasp and they're very, I don't know, they just stay with you, right? So I'm going to give you a big, big disclaimer before I talk about that for each of these two animals, but we're talking about so many other animals and most of this is going to be a fun, funny experience of talking about mama animals. And I just thought that I had to describe that. And I'm going to talk about that later. And I'm going to tell you exactly when you have to pause this episode and where to take it up again, just in case you don't want to listen. But I think it's a good way to kind of just start off with it because I've been as sensitive as I possibly can. I've been, you know, it's a very PG-13 version of what actually happens. So if maybe this is your first time, I'm going to try to help you guide you through it. And yeah, so we're going to talk about that, but that's almost towards the end of the episode. We're going to start and we're also going to finish, by the way, in a super cool positive note. And I think you're going to love this episode. I really do. So we're going to start this off with mama orangutans, because if you've ever seen apes, they're so similar to us. It's so incredible. And the orangutan, out of all of the apes that I kind of researched for this episode, they are awesome mamas. They are maybe the most awesome mamas. You're going to hear some great stories. So I've called the mama, I've given all of these mamas kind of a little nickname. So for me, mama orangutans are the official piggyback ride givers. And there are lots of other cool stuff too, you know, orangutan mothers. And this is the case for most apes, by the way, but especially orangutan mothers. They have long been famous for their awesome caregiving talents and only second to humans. They are the animal that spends the longest period of time looking after their young. And, you know, in fact, they've been considered to have one of the strongest mother-baby bonds in nature, in all of nature. Pretty cool. And their young depend on them completely for 2 years, and they breastfeed for 4 years, which is pretty remarkable in the animal kingdom. But mothers actually stay with their young for 7 and up to 9 years. So only next to humans, this is the mother that stays with their young the longest. And they teach their young how to build their sleeping nests, which, by the way, they have to do every night because they change the spots in which they live and sleep. They have to do this almost every night. They teach them how to build the nests. They teach them how to get food. They teach the babies how to survive in the forest. They teach them how to hide from predators. And this is so cool. They teach them which plants are edible, but most importantly, they teach them which ones are poisonous and which ones they shouldn't eat. It's really incredible. And of course, they are professional piggyback ride givers because their young actually depend on them entirely for transportation for almost 2 years. So they go everywhere on their mama's back for 2 whole years. Pretty amazing. Can you imagine giving your baby a piggyback ride for 2 years? You know, going from one tree to the other and just hanging. It's really incredible. And, you know, orangutan mothers are superbly affectionate. They're so affectionate and they make nests for her and for her young from scratch every night, like I mentioned. And here they cuddle together until the morning. It's so cute. The photos that I saw when I was writing this. And by the way, if you go to the post that goes with this episode at bramble.com, you can just type in the search bar motherly love or Google Bramble motherly love and you'll find the episode. The photos that are in our post are so cute. But the photos I saw when I was researching this, I can't even describe that. It was just unbelievable. I spent almost, I don't know how many hours writing this post because I kept looking for more pictures. It was so cute. So, you know, they just cuddle in these nests. It's adorable. And the craziest and most incredible thing about mama orangutans are that they've tracked female orangutans and they have found that they continue to visit their mothers way into adulthood, past the age of 15. 15, past the age of 15, they have tracked female orangutans going back to their mothers to visit. Even after they've grown and they can live independently, that's just amazing. I've never heard that of another animal. I've never heard that. Some humans don't visit their mamas that often. This is pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool. And it's especially a female thing, especially the female orangutans. Okay, so orangutans are cool. Mama penguins are really cool. And here we're going to talk about dads as well. Because one thing I did notice, by the way, dads, is that in the animal kingdom, we're mostly talking about single mothers here. Most animals, you know, the female does all the work. In some species, the dad is, you know, in charge of protecting kind of the herd, and that's also very important. But in many, many species, and many of the ones we're talking about today, the dads kind of don't even appear in the picture once the baby's born. But penguins are a different matter. Penguins. I've called mama penguins professional walkers. And I'm also talking about one of the few hands-on dads in nature. They're really hands-on, these daddy penguins. So I think they both kind of deserve credit in a motherly love episode, because papa penguins are, you know, they're pretty cool. Now, if you watched the fantastic documentary, The March of the Penguins, chances are you know all about emperor penguin parents and just how much they sacrifice for their young. If you haven't seen this documentary, go watch it right now. Seriously, you can pause this episode and come back later. I'm not giving too many spoilers, but this is just, I think it's my favorite animal documentary of all time. It's just incredible. It's narrated by Morgan Freeman, who is basically a rock star, right? And the story of these penguins is incredible. And this movie, it's not your normal documentary. This is one of the most entertaining documentaries I think I've ever seen. It's really cool. Now, if you watch that, you know that mom and dad both move heaven and earth to protect the egg once it has been laid. And they share the responsibility at all times. So dad stays with the egg, which is a grueling task for papa penguins. Remember that they're in a place with this crazy cold weather. And the egg can freeze if it's not kind of under the dad's pouch and, you know, he isn't protecting it. Predators can get the egg. And I don't know if you've seen videos of penguins, but they're kind of compromised when it comes to mobility a little bit, right? They can't do too much. So they really do a lot. And dads have to stay with the egg while mom travels over 50 miles to reach the sea and bring back food for the new baby. And once the eggs have hatched, dad and mom, they take turns protecting the baby penguin from the cold and from the predators by hiding it under their pouches. And that long journey to find food continues because the baby eats now. Dad has to go find more food 50 miles to the sea. Then dad comes back, and then mom has to go back. And it's really incredible. And finding food for these penguins is not easy. They're at risk for predators. There's only one dad looking after that baby penguin, and it's pretty, pretty hard. And they really share in all of these responsibilities, the moms and the dads, and they will do anything and everything to be able to feed their young and keep them safe. And if you watch this documentary, you will have probably seen how mothers grieve when an egg is destroyed by a predator or the father was unable to keep it safe while that mom was going to her first journey to the sea and comes back and sees that she doesn't have a baby, that the egg just, you know, it just didn't work. And you can see these animals grieving. It's just incredible. It's incredible, you know, these animals, they're different from us, but we share all of these things. We share so many things. And, you know, this kind of dance that they both take part in to raise their kids, their babies, their baby penguins, it's really remarkable. So I highly recommend you watch that movie if you haven't already. And that's our mama penguins. They're cool. All right. Next up, we're going to talk about mama elephants. And this is matriarchy at its finest. This is so cool. If you haven't heard about mama elephants, you're going to learn a lot. And you know, you're, oh, it's so fantastic. So, you know, I think an entire book could be written about the caring instincts of mama elephants. And they, by the way, they have the longest pregnancy of any animal, Their pregnancy is 22 months. That is something pretty cool, right? That they don't go insane after 22 months of having an elephant literally in their belly. So it's pretty fantastic. And so although this is, you know, like a very heavy burden, they really do not have to do it all alone. And elephants, they kind of live in a matriarchal system where all of the elephants, all of the female elephants, they care after their young, but they do it together. So elephants will do these incredible things when there is a baby elephant in, you know, as a member of their, you know, their little elephant community. The elephants will actually slow the pace of a herd so that the babies can keep up with, you know, the walking. And all of the female elephants, they help feed all of the babies and they teach and protect baby elephants, regardless of who the mother is. And of course, you know, in spite of that, the actual mother-baby elephant bond is really strong. The photos of these two, mama and baby elephant, they're just unbelievable. And, you know, mother elephants are extremely affectionate. And if you've ever watched a video on YouTube on a baby elephant in trouble, or you've seen it, you know, there are videos of it falling into a little ditch or into deep water, anything like that, you have likely seen a bunch of elephants running towards it to help. And they kind of work together to take the baby elephant out of whatever mess it's gotten itself into. And they rush to its aid and they work as a team to help the little one. And it's really fantastic. I love this because this is something that we don't see in many species. And it's something that in some families, you know, in some human families, this happens. But in some cases, mothers feel very lonely and they feel that they have to do all of this work and that it's all on them. And these mama elephants, they can teach us something. They can teach us that women have to stick together and help each other out. I love that. I love that so much. All right. So now we're on to mama polar bears. And, you know, this is pretty cool. You're going to be shocked by this. And I've called the mama polar bear the anti-dieting mama bear because mother polar bears, they have to go to great lengths to even be able to take on a pregnancy, and preparing, they have to kind of prepare their bodies for this grueling task. They have to gain over 200 kilograms. That's 400 pounds. You heard that right, 400 pounds, before they can even sustain a pregnancy. So sometimes polar bears get pregnant and they cannot sustain the pregnancy because they don't have enough weight. And it's, you know, they really have to get ready beforehand. And they do, they gain those 400 pounds and sometimes even more than that. And then they fast for 8 full months while they are feeding their young. All of this weight that they gain is just to be able to feed their young and not have to worry about finding food. They have that. They can feed their babies. And polar bear mothers, they normally have twins, which is so cute. If you search for mother polar bears, you're going to always see her with her two little babies. And they are constantly looking out for predators. They're carrying and transporting their babies. You'll often see the two babies on top of the mother and the mother's walking across the ice. It's so cute. And they are constantly showing affection and cuddling with their cubs to keep them warm and to keep them safe. And it's really fantastic. And I just think, I don't know, these mama polar bears, it's just so cool. So cool. Okay, we're going to move on to an animal that I bet you didn't think was a special mama. And we're talking about mama alligators. And mama alligators are like a different kind of Uber. It's really cool. You're going to hear why. So mother alligators are really attentive mamas. They really are. And not only do they spend this huge, huge amount of time creating kind of that perfect little nest for their young, but then they carry their babies in their jaws for maximum protection. So they go around everywhere with these little babies inside their mouth. And you can see this. You can see this if you look for pictures of mama alligators. You're going to see plenty of pictures of them holding their little babies. And they take them to safe places in the water. And there, they teach them how to swim and how to fish. And they do this for up to 1 year of their lives. So they take them in their mouths. They go to a place that is safe, away from predators. And they teach them. Isn't that cool? That's so cool. Okay, mama harp seals. They are like the third helping Italian grandmas. You know what kind of grandmas those are, right? They give you a third helping of food even when you don't want it. So those are the kind of mamas that harp seals are. Mother harp seals will nurse their young with 48% fat seal milk for 12 consecutive days without feeding. They don't eat. They don't eat anything themselves. They just feed their young for 12 consecutive days. And they are constantly doing all sorts of things, trying to protect their cubs from hungry polar bears. If you've ever watched a documentary about polar bears, chances are you've seen mama harp seals trying to keep their young safe and trying to kind of usher them out of wherever the danger is. It's pretty incredible. Okay, now we're going into the water and we're going to talk about dolphins and orca whale mamas. And this is a particularly kind of delicate, sensitive topic for us vegans because dolphins and orca whales are still in shows, in SeaWorld, in aquariums, worldwide, and they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be there. These animals should be in the wild. That's where they should be. So dolphin and orca whale mamas, they are awesome, and they do something that very few animals do in the animal kingdom. And if you're a mother and you've complained of newborn baby sleepless nights, you have to learn about what dolphin and orca whale mamas do. You know, some species of dolphins and orca whales, you know, mama orca whales and mama dolphins, they do not sleep. They do not sleep for a full month after their babies are born. They are kind of keeping an eye out for predators and they are ensuring that their babies swim alongside them to safer waters. So they're kind of taking them towards safer waters. And for a full month, they do not sleep. They do not sleep. They just look after their young and they take care of their young. They teach them how to fish and how to survive in the wild. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And we have these beautiful animals in swimming pools for kids to see when, you know, that's not where they should be. They should not be there. They should be in the wild with their babies. Okay, so let's talk about wolf spiders. I had to put an insect in here because, well, spiders are not technically insects, but you know what I mean. I had to put a little critter in here, and I'm going to talk about wolf spiders. And mama wolf spiders are like those carpool moms. They really are. And, you know, they do not leave their eggs on their webs like most spiders do. Instead, they carry them on their backs day in and day out until they've hatched. So if you Google wolf spiders, you're going to see this image of a wolf spider with a ton of eggs on her back, a ton of eggs. But once they've hatched, they will still continue to carry all of the baby spiders on their backs until the baby spiders are self-sufficient. And it's really incredible to see. It's really pretty cool. Okay, now I'm including a bird, and it's the red-knobbed hornbill. There, many birds had, you know, such incredible stories of looking after their young. But I thought this one had a particular kind of habit that is very weird and kind of a little gross, but it works. It works for those mama red-knobbed hornbills. And, you know, they kind of have a thou shall not pass technique, which is pretty pretty unique. I'm sure not a lot of animals do this. So these magnificent birds, if you don't know what a red-knobbed hornbill looks like, they are these incredible birds with all these colors. They're really just magnificent. And these incredible birds, they'll protect their young from predators by actually sealing the entrance to their tunneled nest. They do like these tunneled nests. And they seal the entrance to the nests with their own feces. They use their poop. They use their poop to block the entrance. This means no predator can get in, but it also means that mama can't get out to feed. She can't get out to feed. But still, she incubates and she nurses her young away from danger until the babies are ready and until they can survive in the wild. So she sacrifices her own food to be able to, you know, just take care of these babies and protect them from predators. And I thought that was pretty cool. I wonder how they kind of came up with that, honestly. And they all do it, all of these red-knobbed hornbills. And it's not something that all birds do by any means. So I thought that was pretty cool. Now, I know we've been talking about all of these, you know, cool wild animals and, you know, they're all fantastic. But I want to talk about now about our kind of most forgotten mamas. And first, I want to talk about mother hens, right? You know, our tribute to mother hens in our language and our storybooks and our movies is kind of very ironic, right? We talk about mother hens. We use this term to describe people. You know, we say, oh, she's really a huge mother hen because, you know, she's very protective of her babies. And we use this as a very positive kind of way of talking about somebody, way of describing a mother. But it's very ironic, right? And we also have tons of storybooks with mother hens protecting their little chicks. And we use them in movies and our kids grow up picturing these mother hens like that, right? And, you know, they're such loving and caring creatures that we actually recognize this openly because some animals, we don't even think that they're, you know, caring mothers. We don't even think about that, right? Many of the ones I mentioned, you had never even thought about them in terms of looking after their young or being particularly special moms, right? However, you know, we recognize this openly with hens. And in spite of that, hens are among the most mistreated of farm animals. They're one of the most mistreated, especially when it comes to egg-laying hens. And I want to give you a little trigger warning right now because the next couple of minutes, just going to be a couple of minutes, I'm going to be mentioning some more sensitive topics related to the treatment of hens in our agriculture system. I'm kind of going to talk about it in the most sensitive and light way possible, I promise. But if you do not wish to listen to this part, you can just skip to, you know, maybe just 2 minutes after this point. And it's just going to take me 2 minutes to kind of describe a couple of things. You can skip over it. But, you know, I do want to tell you that I know how hard learning about these things can be. I know how hard it is, especially if you still consume these products. I know it's hard. But it was kind of daring to read and to learn about these issues that changed my life in so many ways many moons ago when I went vegan. And I know it might be hard, but I know that it can also be very empowering for you too. And this doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you have to make 100 million different changes right now after listening to this. Just take it in and do a little more research if you're inspired to do it. And every little change we can do helps. So this is my little trigger warning. If you don't want to listen, just skip, I don't know, for 1 minute or 2 minutes later, and then we'll continue, okay? But, you know, rather than letting egg-laying hens roam free and have their baby chicks, which is what we admire in mother hens, right, and let them have their dirt showers or peck the soil. These are behaviors, by the way, that just come naturally to hens. It's what they do. It's what they love to do. Here's what we do to them. We debeak them without any anesthesia. We cause horrible pain during this procedure and also after the procedure without any anesthetic or any painkillers. We pack them up in cages that don't even allow them to move. We overcrowd these cages and these birds, who, by the way, they're normally extremely clean animals. They're left to live there in dirty and unsafe conditions. Many of the birds die and are left in the cages because humans don't come into these places often. And if they do, they don't look after these birds properly, of course. And, you know, we just don't let them express their most ingrained instincts or self-care habits. And they have many. They have so many, just like we do. Just like we do. And they can't stretch their wings. They can't move around. And sadly, cage-free facilities are not much better. You know, they might not have actual cages, but these are substituted by a giant overcrowded warehouse with almost the same, and in many cases, worse problems. And you know, the idyllic small farms with chickens running free and going about their day pecking the soil and then producing eggs is a, you know, is a kind of extra. These farms, they exist, but they are few and far between. I can honestly tell you that they are few and far between, and they are definitely not the facilities where the eggs in our supermarkets or grocery store come from. They're not where these eggs come from, because to supply the amount of eggs we need to reach the big cities and to, you know, fill our supermarkets with rows and rows of cartons of eggs, they can't sustain that. A small farm cannot sustain that. Small farms maybe sell to, you know, very local areas. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that the hens are treated well either. It's just not the reality. Those are not the eggs that we find at the store. And they're also, by the way, not the facilities where the majority of restaurants supply their eggs from. It's just not that way. And chickens are also excluded, by the way, from all forms of government welfare regulations when it comes to the transport of animals to and from facilities. And this is where much of the abuse occurs. And there are so many other things that we do to our egg-laying hens. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to write everything and say everything. I wanted to keep it, you know, like a little opener to maybe open your mind about it. But it's very hard. And so many other horrible things are done to these animals. It's so, so very sad. So that's the sad part. That's the bad part. But let's talk about mother hens, right? Because, you know, they're incredibly nurturing creatures, and I want to leave you with the positive things about these beautiful animals, because this is where empathy is going to come from, at least for me. It was seeing how these animals are so incredible, and it was also about learning the hard stuff. That's definitely what made me change my mind about the products I was buying and consuming. So mother hens, they are incredibly nurturing creatures, incredibly nurturing. That's why we call somebody who's very nurturing and caring a mother hen. And, you know, this is so much the case that studies have shown mother hens to have a reaction comparable to human empathy. This is not something, these are not my words, by the way. These are the words used in the conclusions of these studies. They're pretty cool. You can Google them and find some of them, because they've done many. And it's a reaction comparable to human empathy when their chicks or other animals around them are in distress. So they get all of this reaction when they see that their chicks are in harm's way. And I'm sure many of the other animals experience something like that too, but it's harder to study a polar bear under scientific conditions, right? It's harder than a chicken. So, you know, this is something that makes them extra sensitive and especially extra stressed when living in tight quarters in factory farms with other birds who are also under stress and in unsafe conditions. So this is another reason why we need to be looking after our mother hens and not, you know, and maybe changing things around for them, because they're extra sensitive when it comes to other birds being in harm's way or being under stressed. And, you know, mother hens show such a deep desire to see their chicks hatch that they will choose their nest with extreme care, making sure that the egg will be safe and protecting it at all costs. It's really incredible the things that they do. And mother hens and their chicks are able to communicate verbally with specific calls to make sure they always stay together. And mother hens show completely different behaviors than chickens who have not laid eggs. So that's why we call them mother hens. It's really, you know, not that chickens who have not laid I'm not talking about, you know, unfertilized eggs. I'm talking about having chicks. You know, even though those chickens, I'm sure they have, you know, so many habits and things that are comparable to us and to other animals. And they're, of course, nurturing, but especially mother hens. It's really fantastic. It's really, really fantastic. And their behaviors, all of their behaviors are different from chickens who haven't had chicks. And, you know, it's, they kind of focus only on the protection of the chicks, and they make sure that they learn what they need to learn before becoming independent from their mothers. They will teach their chicks constantly. For example, they do this incredible thing of pressing their chick's beak towards water with their beak. They kind of push the chick's beak towards water to teach them how to drink, because chicks kind of, this is a hard thing. They don't have a clear instinct for this unless by mistake they kind of, this is so cute, unless by mistake, for example, they look at a puddle and they're curious about the reflection and seeing themselves in the puddle, and they kind of fall into the puddle and they find water. It's not easy for chicks to start drinking on their own. So moms teach them how to do it by pressing their little beaks towards the water. It's so cute. And mama hens are able to round up all of their chicks and kind of herd them away from predators. And they often become extremely aggressive if a person or animal approaches her chicks. And another thing that hens are famous for is they are fantastic cuddlers. They're really great cuddlers. And this occurs even with humans. And you can see this with, you know, the numerous chickens who have been taken to farm sanctuaries. And yeah, it's pretty incredible. And it turns out we use the term mother hen for a very, very good reason. Okay, so that was forgotten mama number one. And now we're going to talk about forgotten mama number two. There are many forgotten mamas, by the way. But we're going to talk about the second one I want to talk about today. And that is the cow. The cow and her calf. And I've left the saddest, but also one of the most loving motherly animals for last, and that's the cow. I say the saddest because right at the center of our consumption of animal products is what I honestly consider to be the worst of the worst of the animal agriculture industry, and that is the dairy industry. I hate to compare, and I hate to say this animal has it worse than this one, and this one has it easier than that one. Because I would love to see a world where no animals are suffering in that way. But to me, one of the worst things is the dairy industry. And it's sad, and it must be mentioned, because it's a very clear case of an, you know, of animal abuse on mothers, especially on mothers. It's a very clear case, and you're going to see why in a second. And just like we did just now with our mother hens, I'm going to use some more sensitive descriptions, and so you can just skip over if you choose to, the next, you know, skip over the next minute or two. However, I've omitted many of the details of the dairy industry that might be too strong for this particular episode, because I did want it to be a celebratory episode of mamas from the animal kingdom, and I've kind of made it as approachable as I can. I promise that. And I think it's important. I think it's important to hear this, and I think it's important to start learning about this. Even if we haven't decided to go vegan, it's important to at least have this information, and then you can make an informed choice, or then you can reduce the products that you consume, or just make small changes until you kind of see where you are. And, you know, there's so many things that we can do. So I'm going to start right now, so you can skip on over 1 or 2 minutes. And then we'll continue, because I do have some awesome, crazy, incredible, cool stories to tell you about cows other than our treatment of them. So contrary to popular belief, dairy cows don't just produce milk, right? They're just not there to be milked. We're not doing them a favor because they're, you know, they're in pain because they have so much milk. That's kind of the lie we've been sold. That's kind of the lie storybooks tell our children. But that's not the case. They don't just produce milk. They need to be pregnant in order to lactate, just like we do, right? Women produce milk when they have a baby. And this means that in dairy farms, cows are artificially inseminated. They are forced to have pregnancy after pregnancy, but there is no room for a mother and her baby in this scenario because her milk is for human consumption, not for her baby's consumption. And not only milk, of course, but also for the production of dairy products like butter and cream and yogurt and cheese. And farmers, they can't have baby calves drinking the milk that will be sold to humans. So even after a dairy cow endures horrific treatment in dairy farms, because that's another thing I'm not going to describe. I think there are many videos if you want to check this out. I've seen so many of them and they have haunted me to this day, but they made veganism stick. I promise you that. And, you know, they already endure horrific treatment and, you know, it's part of being in a dairy farm, especially in today's day and age, you know, dairy farms. And they are forced to live in terrible conditions. They're impregnated artificially, just like I told you, in a process that is extremely hard and painful and just so hard on the cow. Even in spite of all of this, even after having a cow enduring all of this, all a mother cow wants after birth, all she wants is her baby. That's all she wants. And just as human mamas and bear mamas and dog mamas and horse mamas and almost every other mama in the animal kingdom, this cow wants to mother her young. She wants to mother her baby. But this baby doesn't have a place there. It doesn't have a place there. And this baby is taken away from her, sometimes a day after birth, sometimes hours after birth, producing the most chilling and heartbreaking and traumatizing reaction in both mother and calf. And out of everything I've witnessed of the treatment of animals in our agriculture system, and I've seen so much footage of what's going on, this moment of separation has always stayed with me. It's always stayed with me because it gives you such a visceral reaction of understanding what this mother is going through and what this baby is going through. And it has always stayed with me as the most traumatic, maybe second only to the things done to animals in fur farms, maybe only second to that, but it has stayed with me, this moment of separation. And this moment of separation is so traumatic for the mother cow that it's the only instance in which a cow can get violent. She hides her calf, she starts kicking and bellowing, and she tries to protect it from the farmer that is trying to take it away. And both mama and baby, they scream and they kick for dear life, and the calf is eventually dragged away. And this happens to be, you know, this happens to the same mama cow again and again and again for years until she can no longer reproduce, and then she is sent to slaughter, which is, you know, a whole other nightmare, from the transport to the slaughter line to the walk inside the facility. It's heartbreaking. And this is her life. This is all of her life. And during all these years, all she wants is to mother her babies. And her instinct towards her own calf is so strong that cows who have managed to escape dairy farms, the ones that have actually managed to escape in this moment of just rage and just being so unbelievably heartbroken, they have actually run across miles and miles of farms and fields and cities, finding the exact farms where their babies were taken to. So they take the babies away to another facility because this is a dairy facility. It's not a facility where they're going to kill these calves for veal. They take them somewhere else. And these cows who have escaped, there are, you know, accounts of them finding the farm where their baby was taken to, the exact farm. This is incredible. I find this to be incredible. And, you know, others who were not so lucky to be able to escape, they have been heard bellowing for days yearning for their baby calf in this horrible, horrible way. I've heard these, you know, they're called bellows when it's about a, when it's referring to a cow, but these are screams. These are cries. There's no way you can see that and hear that and not think otherwise, because you know, you can understand. And the calves, by the way, they, you know, the calves taken, they also experience a tragic end to their lives. The females, they're doomed to the same life as their mothers, and the males are slaughtered for the production of veal as babies. And both cows and calves, who are now separated, they also have to endure painful procedures without anesthesia, without painkillers afterwards, and they just live a life of abuse in almost all instances in today's agriculture system. That's the truth. That's the truth that is behind our consumption of these products. And I wish that weren't the case. I really wish that weren't the case, but that's the truth. And knowing this is what made me change. And I think it was important. So, you know, I know that that was hard to hear and it was hard to picture if you listened through it. And trust me, I gave you the PG-13 rated version. But I just can't talk about these loving mothers without trying to help create a better world for them. I just can't, because when we talk about mothers, mother hens and, you know, and cows, we're using them because of their reproductive system. So I couldn't not mention it. And I really thank you if you listened through that. And if you didn't, I also understand. And if you're ever ready, I'm here. And this podcast will always be here for you to hear that. And, you know, for me, more than the health benefits of going vegan, more than the benefits to the environment, and by the way, you get all of that, whether that's the reason why you're doing this or not, you get all of that. That's the great thing about veganism. But it was really bearing witness to what they were going through that made me change my habits. And I'm so glad that I did it. I'm so glad. And, you know, in the end, all that veganism was and is for me, it just was changing one delicious food for a different delicious food. It really was that simple. And as you know, helping you through that delicious transition in your kitchen, that's really, and also out of the kitchen too. That's what we're all about here at Brown Bowl. That's why we have our blog and why we have this podcast and our courses and our online program. And that's what we do. So there are so many options. There are so many options. It really is just a matter of substituting something that you love and is delicious, because I used to love all of those products, and eating something that's also delicious, but that's just different. And now we have so many products that are almost exactly the same. If you just want to stick to the things that you loved, there are so many vegan cheeses and non-dairy milks. It's crazy. So yeah, I just had to mention that. But of course, I don't want to leave you with, you know, sadness and these horrible tales, right? I don't want to leave you with that, because today was all about celebration of mamas. And mama cows who have been rescued to and sent to sanctuaries, to farm animal sanctuaries, they are so loving and nurturing that they have been shown over and over again to adopt other animals as their own. So these cows that go through this horrific trauma and have their babies taken, they are some of them who are lucky enough to be sent to sanctuaries where they will live the rest of their lives with nobody taking their milk, nobody making them pregnant. They have this mothering, their mothering instinct is so wild that they adopt other animals in these sanctuaries as their own. Not other calves, other animals, other species. And I've seen cows cuddle with orphaned goats and orphaned piglets. I've seen them cuddle with dogs. I've seen them, you know, take naps, cuddle together with cats. And they just love being near humans who respect and care for them. It's just so remarkable. And when mother cows are allowed to keep their calves, the bond that forms is incredibly strong. It's incredibly strong. Sometimes we've had this incredible thing of having a cow be rescued and them not knowing that the cow was pregnant, and they get to keep their calves and they get to be in the sanctuaries. And I've heard these stories, and that bond is so strong. It's so lovely. It's so special. And, you know, they help the babies. They help them with their search behaviors. They, you know, it improves, being with the mother improves the calf's weight and its overall health when compared to calves who were separated at birth from their mothers. Cow mamas are dedicated and they're incredibly affectionate mothers. And sadly, we've kind of taken advantage of their docile personalities, which is, by the way, the only reason why cow's milk is more popular than the milk from harder to wrangle goats or other animals, right? Cows are so friendly and docile that that's why we've chosen that animal. It's not for any other particular reason. It's because that animal is easy to dominate and it's easy to put it in a factory farm. That's really all that it is. And so, yeah, basically, mama cows, they rule. They rule and they become motherly towards so many other creatures, not just their own offspring. And I think that's the most unbelievable story. And that's why I left this one for last, because when a mother from the animal kingdom has such a strong instinct to be protective and be affectionate that she chooses another baby that maybe didn't have a mother to keep safe and to feed and to, it's so special. And it's so special. And that's how I wanted to close off today's episode. And I can't thank you enough for sticking around and maybe listening to a little bit of what's behind our agriculture system. And of course, also meeting some of the most loving mothers in the animal kingdom. And of course, there are so many others, right? I just had to choose some of them. And I chose the ones that I thought had something very interesting or very unique or different. And I, as you can see, you know, the instinct to mother and to nurture and to protect, it's not reserved for us humans. Dogs have it, and cats have it, and elephants have it, and pigs have it, and so it goes in almost all species that roam this beautiful, beautiful world of ours. And here's to all the awesome mamas out there and the beautiful act of caring for another and teaching them how to swim and how to climb and how to read and how to speak and how to hunt, how to eat, how to scavenge, how to nest, how to fly, and how to live, of course. And if you want to watch and see this little kind of slideshow that I've prepared with some beautiful images of mamas and their babies, you have to go to bramble.com and search for the post that goes with this episode. And I think you're going to love what you see. So to all my mamas out there, I can't thank you enough for listening today. You are so special and the job you do is so special. And I'm so glad that you hung out with me today to celebrate all of the mamas out there in the animal kingdom, because they're really all so cool and they really are kind of like us. So yeah, that's the way I wanted to finish off our special week, our special Mother's Day week. But of course, you'll have all of this content available for whenever you want to kind of feel inspired and listen or take a look at those photos or read the posts. So I cannot thank you enough for listening in today. That was fun and that had some hard parts, but it had some just heart-melting parts as well. And of course, if you'd like to support this podcast, I'd be so grateful if you could subscribe and also leave us an awesome rating and review on iTunes. You know, this really helps us rank higher in searches and it helps other people who need this information find us. So to leave us a rating and review, all you have to do this on your phone is open your podcast app and you click the little search icon. You type in Bramble and go to our podcast, and then you just click on the reviews tab and click write a review, and there you leave it. It's really easy. And to do it on your computer, if that's easier for you, you just open your iTunes, type in Bramble in the search bar, go to ratings and reviews, and leave it there. I will be so, so grateful if you can take the time to do this, because we really want to support others on this journey, on their journey, and we need this type of information to be out there. We need other people to find this, and this content is completely free. It's always going to be free. So all we need is to reach other people who are looking for this information and looking for support. And of course, we need all of your help to do it. We cannot do it without your help, and reviews go a long way. So thank you so much, you guys, for listening in today. And of course, as usual, I'll see you next week with more on Thursday, which is our little date. Happy Mother's Day. Bye-bye.